working class radio experience. Where hard work, common sense, and rational thought are a reality. The Rick Smith Show.
Working hard to make a left. Rich out of poverty. Father, son, left a cameo. Blue denim, head is vain. Class.
And welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So it's skinny budget day. That means with the priorities of the Trump administration, again, the Labor Department going to see a 20% slashing of their budget. And what does that mean? Well, one of the little areas going to be eliminated. Well, they're eliminating completely funding for the Chemical Safety Board. Because why would we want to know any of those things? Why would we bother with that stuff? And again, I got to go back to the priority of this administration is not protecting workers, not protecting you or me. And the reality is, on any given day, 13 of us go to work and don't go home. That, to me, is unacceptable, which is why I've asked Marcy Goldstein-Gelb to come talk with us. She's the co-executive director of the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. They've just released a new action agenda, and it could not be a moment too soon. Marcy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So I look at this and your new agenda, protecting workers' lives and limbs, I don't think a second too soon.
Unfortunately not. I mean, already we have way too much blood on our hands. There's far too much pain in our communities. I mean, as you said, an average of 13 men and women go to work and never return home. That is completely unacceptable and, as we know, preventable.
You know, and I look at the, you just took, because today's budget is front and center on my mind, the fact that we're going to eliminate something like the Chemical Safety Board, we're going to slash massive amounts of funding from the Department of Labor at a time when organized labor is on the attack and being attacked and decimated. I'm really concerned for people who go to work and suffer all kinds of injuries and well, death.
Well, there is unfortunately great reason to be concerned. We know that there's no refute that OSHA saves lives. It was created 43 years ago. Back then, an estimated 14,000 workers were killed every year. It's gone down substantially to just over 4,500, at least those from traumatic injuries. Of course, that's completely unacceptable, but it shows that OSHA does deter employers, that penalties, that training and education of employers and letting them know that there will be penalties if they don't follow basic essential safety measures. These are things that are saving lives every day. And if you're going to slash and burn OSHA, then you're basically putting workers in their graves.
Now, we hear an awful lot about it. And you hear this from the Trump people and the Republicans all the time. You know, job-killing regulations, Marcy. They're job killers. Yet we rarely hear them. I've never heard them talk about the people-killing lack of regulations and protections on the job.
Well, the employers that do the right thing know that when you invest in safety, when you ensure that measures are put in place, you save lives, people are more productive, that, you know, that the amount invested pays back way more in terms of protecting workers and saving money for business. And then you've got basically the rest of them that are trying to skirt the law, that are undercutting those that do the right thing, you know, in many cases, union businesses, those that work with unions to ensure that the workers are, you know, have the protections that they need, that they've got the protective equipment, that they've got the, you know, all the measures and the training, et cetera. And so why should we be ensuring and allowing and encouraging the bad actors? You know, this is, if our country, if our new administration is pro-worker, then in fact, and pro-business, frankly, then OSHA should be something that they should be supporting. This should be a bipartisan issue.
You know, this should be a no-brainer. I mean, you're right. It should be a bipartisan issue. And even for businesses, because as you pointed out, For those people who are trying to do the right thing, it does save a little money, which makes me think, you know, why do the bad actors continue to go in that direction when, you know, a lot of the research and a lot of the common knowledge is that if you do the right thing, you're gonna probably save a little bit of money.
Well, I honestly can't speak for the bad actors, but I can say that what I have seen is that when there are strong penalties, when there are reasons for employers to be deterred from flouting and not paying attention to safety laws, that workers' lives are saved, that injuries go down. And so we need to have stronger protections. So, you know, what this platform does is it not only says, you know, at the federal level, our elected officials need to put safety first. It also says we know that we're going to need to work at the state level. We know we're going to need to continue to do grassroots worker involvement, and we need strong active unions. That's the way to have workers have a voice in the workplace. They can identify those hazards. They can speak up when there's something unsafe, and that is a critical part of saving lives.
Yeah, at the end of it, it does come back to the workplace, doesn't it? And having the ability and the empowerment to stop problems before they become life-threatening or injurious.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been shown time and time again that workers in unionized workplaces are able to speak up about when they see hazards. They're able to get employers to respond more quickly. Lives are saved. It's really, you know, the whole notion of having a voice in the workplace and having a union represent them, it's critical for addressing this issue. But again, you know, we recognize that unions are under attack. We recognize that at every level, we need to be staying together and staying strong and saying, again, this is not a partisan issue. You know, if you look right here in Pennsylvania, I don't think that the families of Michael Robertson, who was killed in mid-January, Steve Swift, 43 years old, killed in January, William Pierce in February, and Adam Scotcood also in February. These are men who went to work one day and their families never saw them again. There are holes in their lives, and this is something that they're not looking at politics. They're saying, I want my loved one back, and I want things to change so that workplaces can be safe for others.
Yeah, I mean, as a society, we have to make safety a priority, don't we?
Absolutely.
And the other part of this is, you know, outside of just the, you know, went to work today and fell or got hit by something and died, there are all those people who are exposed to all kinds of stuff that, you know, have lifelong ailments that end up, you know, killing people just because they went to work, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And I look at something like eliminating the chemical safety board and go, you know, I don't understand the priorities of some when you look at this stuff.
Well, I mean, there's the Chemical Safety Board, which plays a critical role in investigating what the causes were and the impact of the chemicals. And then, of course, there's the EPA, which plays an important role in regulating chemicals and in making sure that, you know, both the public and workers are not exposed in a, you know, very harmful way. As you said, you know, we've got more than 95,000 deaths each year from long-term occupational exposure. These are things that we could be doing something about and not weakening groups like the Chemical Safety Board and the EPA, but strengthening them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that number, and it's always a shocking number when you start talking about tens of thousands of people dying because they went to work. And it's something I don't think that the employer class really wants us to be focusing on and looking at the process and looking at the chemicals that they use and all of that. I don't think it's something that they really want front and center.
Well, you know, and just it shows you that when you see that just most recently they're considering a resolution that would make it deter employers from reporting on injuries and from tracking these injuries and illnesses. It's a congressional resolution that's being considered by the U.S. Senate next week. And, you know, putting that on the chopping block, that has been really critical for ensuring that workers speak up, they report their injuries, employers track them and document them. That's another way to ensure that workers are, you know, that we can identify those hazards that are causing the greatest injuries and illnesses and you know, reduce it.
Yeah, but that's not business friendly, Marcy.
Well, you know, again, we got to be community friendly and public friendly. If we care about workers, if we care about families, then we need to be doing something about reducing these injuries, addressing these hazards, and making sure that people can go to work and return home well.
And there's the key. Right there was the key, if they care about workers. And I argue the people making these policies don't.
Well, then we need to remind them that we, the public, are working folks, that we vote, and that we, in between voting, take action and speak up. And there's many forms that's why not just releasing this platform, but dozens of delegations across the country are going to be meeting with their members of Congress and speaking to them about what are our priorities, what are the community's priorities, what do we care about, and what should they be doing. It's their job to represent us. And so more and more people are stepping up and speaking out, and I think that's something that we need to be encouraging.
Yeah, you know, I look at this budget, and I look at the priorities that the Republicans have put forth, and to me it's one of these moments in time where if you're a working person in this country, it's time to lift the head up and look around, because the reality is the people who are in power right now don't seem to have our interests at heart. And at a time when they're talking about we're going to be bringing back all this manufacturing and doing all this construction, I think safety has to be a key component of how we do all of those things.
Well, this is really a testing moment for all of us, because we can either be divided in our communities, you know, certain workers versus other workers, certain people that care about one issue versus another, or we can be standing side by side and telling our elected officials and the administration, this is what's important to all of us, and you will listen to us. I mean, you saw there was an outpouring of concern around Andrew Puzder being identified as the next Labor Secretary,
yeah.
And there was enough action that he withdrew his nomination, and that's the sort of thing that we need to be doing at every step of the way, to be watching and monitoring and speaking out constantly and saying, this is what's important to us, and we're going to be here, and we're not going to allow another family member to suffer a loss of a loved one. It's over.
Yeah.
We're here, and we're not going away.
Puzder was an interesting character for me because, you know, as someone who believes that workers in this country are overprotected, you can go through all of the different ways where they're not, but having even nominated him to be the Secretary of Labor, to me was a slap in the face to working people by Donald Trump.
Well, all I can say is that he put forward someone who was an executive who perhaps was of a different, somebody that he could relate to, but the people spoke out and they, you know, got him to withdraw that nomination. And that's the sort of thing that we've got to keep, you know, laser beam focused on, pushing forward for the right things that benefit the most people, that benefit ordinary working folks. That's who, you know, the president says that he cares about. So we need to be holding him accountable and constantly speaking up and organizing and bringing folks together. You know, at the end of April, we commemorate Workers' Memorial Week, and leading up to that, we need to be bringing forward those that have been impacted by these illnesses and these injuries and the loss of loved ones and saying, we are here, we're not going away, and we're going to speak out until no other person suffers as we have suffered from these poor working conditions.
It's about coming out of the shadows and making sure that everyone knows what's going on so that people can protect themselves ultimately. The report, Protecting Workers' Lives and Limbs, a new agenda for action. I hope people will take a look at it. We'll get a link at therickssmithshow.com. Marcy, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Thanks so much, Rick, for having me.
Great talking with you, Marcy Goldstein-Gelb. Again, take a look at the report, Protecting Workers' Lives and Limbs. We'll get a link there at therickssmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.
This is why we fight, why we lie away. This is why we fight.
Finally, radio for the rest of us. Rick Smith.